paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. And one day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Yes, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay.
Amen. It's good to be here this morning. As Brother Wade says, the B team is here. But that's all right. For the wonderful message that's come to this church, I would think that anybody here at any time could be called on to pull the duty that they should do and honor the Lord. And just being blessed, being a very small group of people around the world. Folks, we're different. By what we know, we're different. And we should be. Thank you, Lord. Because we know the truth and we've heard it. So this morning, before we go to the Word, I just want to say a few words and thank the author, if you don't mind. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come together around your Word. And my heart shouts, hallelujah, Lord, to your Word coming to us. Forgive me, Father, I just... You know how I feel about you. I love you. And I thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your Word and be with us in these troubled times. And Father, you've many times you woke us up during the middle of the night to pray, and our pastors taught us it's okay. Just go ahead and pray. He'll put you back to sleep. But I tell you what, Father, your Word is here and is strong and it is life. And it will not be shunned. It will be heard. And it will be lived, just like you said it would be, in a group of people, a little group, that we're here, Lord. And we ask, Father, that you just bless those that couldn't be here this morning. Whatever the hindrance is, Lord, you know what it is. Be with each one of them and bless them, Lord, and bring them back into the fold, Father, where they belong. Because we can't leave without them. And we ask, Father, you just bless the Word here today and bless Brother Chris. Come a long way to bring a message to us, Father. Let us be attentive. Send your Word to us by revelation, Father. Anoint our ears that we can hear your Word as you anoint his Word that comes from that heart that you've placed those words upon. We ask these things now, Father, and bless the opening and the reading of your Word here this day. We ask it in your name. Amen. We're going to read this morning in Proverbs 16:16. I was studying a little bit through Proverbs and through the Bible period because it's all God's Word. But I went back over Proverbs, and I'll tell you, I've been blessed being here to hear the Word that has been taught. And I'm going to tell you, I was blessed to sit in Brother Wade's Sunday school class. And to hear Brother Dale, you can't get any better. Okay? Two teachers. And the nut didn't fall far from the tree back there with Brother Wade, I'll tell you that. But I went back over Proverbs, and I was amazed at how much the Lord just opened up to me and said, this is about wisdom. You need wisdom. You got to have wisdom. Hope don't get it by itself. But you got to get in that Word and become part of it. Now as we read Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he.
The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning.
Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly.
The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips.
Pleasant words are as in a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him.
An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a hurting fire.
A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separate chief friends.
A violent man entices his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good.
He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass.
The hoary head is a crown of life.
Amen.
If it be found in the way of righteousness.
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposition thereof is of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, this morning, as we get ready to take up our tithes and offerings, get Brother John, could you help us this morning?
Amen.
So, worship. Jonathan? Brother Jonathan? That's the thing. We got all these Annas and Sarahs and John. So. Yeah, Esther, so all kinds of run together. So, amen. God bless you, Brother John. Go ahead and pray for me. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you have your spiral book, we're going to look number 29 in the spiral book. We're going to be in the key of G.
Amen. Before we change the order of the service this morning. I am resolved no longer to linger.
Well, I am resolved no longer to linger. So glad and free, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Yes, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is is the just one. He hath the words of life, and I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee, and I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. And who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Yes, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Yes, I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen, amen. Let's all stand. Brother Wade, you come? Okay. All righty. Well, let's just prepare our hearts this morning to have Brother Chris come bring us the word. Amen. I just want to be an open vessel this morning. Lord, just fill me up this morning. Amen. Remove all the things that will be a hindrance to me, Lord. And my mind keeps going back to that scripture. Said he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destructions. Where would we be without his word? He's sending his word to us. So. Let's sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" this morning as Brother Chris Long comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Lord, pour out shining in the light of your glory. Oh Lord, pour out your power and love. We sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Yes, isn't that our desire this morning? Amen. Amen. Do you really want to see Him? Amen. Well, I just turn around and shake your brother or sister's hand. Amen. That's the plan of God. I just know it is.
Amen.
We'll read about it in 1 Corinthians 12 if you give me a chance. Sis, God bless you. God bless your brother. Amen. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. It's always good, like I say, to be home with. That's a favorite part of the holidays for me. I mean, I know there's this, a lot of controversy and conflict over what we call Christmas. Christmas is not the, to me, it's not the exchanging of gifts. It's the fellowship that you get to have with friends and family. And of course, the food. We like to sit around the table, don't we? So let's sit around the table this morning and, you know, if you're not real hungry, just get some finger food. But if you're starving to death, there's prime rib available. Amen. And if you're a vegetarian, eat all the vegetables you want. It's all good for you. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It's a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. Would you just sit down for just a second? I want to, it came to me, as the brother was mentioning, and I think I heard this right. It's the B team. Is the B team here? June, Sister June, are you here? Is the B team? I think the B team is considered a derogatory remark, but wait a minute, wait a minute. God's word fixes that right up. You think the B team is second string, right? Well, let's see what the prophet said. I didn't give this one to Anderson because it come to me when the brother said that. Straight as the gate, 3:1 of 59, starting at paragraph 58, Brother Brown says, Lot didn't think. Watch the A and the B team now. Lot didn't think that he was going to backslide, but he went to looking towards Sodom where things were easy. And there's many times that we look towards the easy way. I'll join this certain church and you see nobody will say anything against it because it's the biggest church in the city. The easy way. I mean, it's interesting why the way he's defining the easy way. Many times we do that when we're wrong, he says. Now this is going to make more sense in this paragraph here in just a second. Remember, if you follow Christ, you'll be hated by people. For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And if you come to Christ, you'll not come by any church or any denomination or any creed. You'll come by the blood. That's the only avenue in. You cannot bring no one with you. You'll come alone, stand on your own confession and your own faith. You'll not ride in on the pastor or on your mother's faith. You'll come as an individual when you come to God, and many times we make those foolish choices. Ooh. You may not realize it, but I'm getting to the B team. What if Lot, when he's seen everything easy, he saw where there was much money and much popularity because he'd be a stranger and a smart man, educated, a lot of psychology, and he could do certain things and yet maintain his religion. He thought, I've got faith in God, so I'll just go down into Sodom and I'll make some extra money and I'll become a great man, maybe a wonderful preacher. See, you have to make a choice. You have a choice to make. And the laity has a choice to make. The laity is you folks. I'll go down to this certain church there. Oh, everybody in town thinks this is the most. Why? The mayor. But he's not the mayor of Lula, so we can't, we're not imputing the mayor. Why, the mayor of the city belongs to this church. Now, he could belong to a church that was really good. What's wrong with the one we're at?
Right.
But still, you have to judge that church and its people by the scriptures. Sometimes they go because it's a popular way, the people dress better, they go to a certain places, and there's where we make a fatal mistake. Now notice this. Here's the A and the B team. Watch how God looks at the B team. And Abraham, the only thing he could do was take second choice. And sometimes the second choice is better than first if it's took like that. Unquote. I've known about this portion of the message and this quote since, oh, way, way, way back in the early 90s. Because something happened to me and I was thinking about how the Lord deals with His children, and then God had me put on a series, and I believe that this Straight is the Gate may be found in the series Israel in the Church, or one of those, or the church, not the church, but okay. And I heard that statement and I said, well, second choice ain't that bad. Because Abraham here is being forced to make a choice. Now, Abraham could have took Sodom and the fertile valley and the flowing river and the green pastures. And if you've ever watched any dramas that the Hollywood has produced about Abraham, when he makes the turn away from Sodom, they suffer. It's dry as a bone. There's no water anywhere. There's no food. The animals are dying and people are starting to question Abraham. Are you sure God said? You're being presented with the same question this morning. So am I. So I just thought, brother, I'd mention that. So let's go, B team. Come on. Amen. Let's go. And I'm not into sports anymore, but you know who was a second stringer? Until the first stringer got hurt. Tom Brady. Probably the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm not a Tom Brady fan, so nobody get upset. I just have the knowledge that that's how it worked out. That's right. They was sitting there all the time. Waiting for the opportunity. And brothers and sisters, guess what? The presentation of God's word for the hour we live in is granting to you personally the opportunity now to do something about what you've been given. But you didn't get it 2 years ago or five, not 10 or 12 or 50. You got it before the foundation of the world. But God is waiting till this time for it to be manifested. And I believe He wants us to do that job. So with that, if you'd stand for the reading of the word, I think we will go to 1 Corinthians 12, so that way I can read out of Ephesians while you're seated. Everybody knows this scripture. I quote it. We repeat it. We know it. But I'd like to put some emphasis on it today if we could, along with other things in the scripture. So 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start with verse 12. We'll read down to verse 20. Is everybody feeling all right?
Amen.
If anybody's not feeling well, come on up. We'll pray for you before we start preaching. And by the time we get done, you'll be all right.
Amen.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, it is. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Okay, I want you to get this. Okay? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful. I am so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you've given us another opportunity, Lord. For we've been told by prophecy, Father, that there will come a time, and it seems like we're just so close, Lord, where they'll want to close the doors of places like this, where people come to receive from you, Lord, because the powers that will be in charge don't think you exist. And Father, it makes perfect sense to me because there is no explanation for you, Lord. No mortal man could come close to being able to explain you as a being who had no beginning. It's almost impossible for us to think, Lord, how that could be and will have no end. But Father, you've invited us this morning into you. And once, Lord, we come to the realization that there's a place at the table for us, Lord. And you've placed our name there, Father. And it's in you, Lord, then while we know in our body, Lord, of time that we would think, well, we had a beginning, we can have no end if we'll just get in you. Bless your children for their efforts, Lord, for being here this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd give revelation also to those, Father, on the stream, Lord, out there in the world, Father, of the church, Lord. I pray that you'd help us this morning, Father. Sometimes second choice is better. We've made it this morning, Father. We're here. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory and the wonderful and in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I could preach on every syllable there, but I want you to come to an understanding as we move into this morning's message. And again, I'm not straying off of where we were at on Friday night. I'm just going to continue to move forward. Amen. If you remember, we were quoting out of Revelation 5, how that nobody could see, that there was no man worthy, and John or no one could see how it was going to be possible. And then, of course, one of the elders cries out, God's got this. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, right? He's prevailed. He prevailed means overcome. Now we have to overcome ourselves. Can I say that again? Yeah. Brother Boyd got it. We have to overcome ourselves. Because we are our greatest enemy. And by overcoming ourselves, we are the true overcomer of the day we live in. And Revelations 3:21 gives us the recipe. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. Amen. How many thrones we got? Well, we know that the first throne was in heaven. The second throne was in Christ. And the third throne is in the heart of man. But as we mentioned on Friday, it could be a throne, and it was made to be a throne room. But who's sitting on it? Because you know the God of this evil age has tried to set this up to be Satan's Eden. And he wants to sit in that chair. But it's God's chair. That's why in Thessalonians he says, I'm gonna be like God. I'm gonna raise up higher than God. I'm gonna get higher than the stars. It says in Isaiah, I'm gonna be God. Good luck. Because it ain't happening. But where do you and I come in? Seems like a battle that's between God and Satan. Well, there's a conflict. Remember, I've preached that here before. Conflict between God and Satan. Huh? God's here on the right. This would be your right. Satan's here on your left. And if there's a conflict between God and Satan, who is it? It's you. It's me. We're the ones in between. And God has set up man's heart to be a throne room. Now you can say, well, God can take that throne. He's a gentleman. It is His throne room. He brought it into existence. But He's made you and I a free moral agent. So there's a chair. A throne is a place of power and authority. There's a place in you designated by God of power and authority. But you choose. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so is he who rules and reigns on that throne. God's word is seemingly completely contrary to the world we live in. Prove it. There's where the contrariness comes in. You can't prove God. You believe God. And faith is something that you believe in which there's no proof. That's the dictionary. I'm just quoting the dictionary to you now. So that's why Abraham seemed to be a stumbling block. Wait a minute. I thought you said God talked to you. Did I not hear something mentioned about a land flowing with milk and... Abraham, look where we're at. But Abraham believed God. And if we're going to be the royal seed of Abraham, we're going to believe God. No matter what your eyeballs see. No matter what your ears hear or your tongue tastes, we are going to believe God. And here Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 is addressing the body, and if you really focused on every word that Paul gave there, you'd understand that Paul is trying to convey that this should not be, and it was not meant to be, a body that is out of joint. A body that's conflicted. A body that is confused. But Paul is reading into it how it becomes confusing to people because they begin to misunderstand the body and its use. I hear you, brother. Yeah, but you're not all ears. Some people like me are, but... I can see what you mean, but we're not all eyes. Now, I think it's particularly interesting the way Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 was inspired by God to lay it out. And in the day you and I live in, we're being told that there are only two important parts of the body. The mouth that God spoke through, and your ears that you should hear Him in. But Paul says, wait a minute. That's not all there is to this body. This body needs to be complete. You still with me? All right. So then on Friday, if you remember, I put some emphasis just for a foundation for this morning and this afternoon's message of the location. No man was worthy. Is that right? What does the Bible say? Let's go to Revelation 5. That way, I can paraphrase it, but let's read it the way it is. It'll become important here in just a second. Revelations 5:1, it says, "And I saw on the right hand." What does right hand mean? A position, a particular position of power. All right? And I also want you to know that it also means confidence. You see, if you have a right-hand man, you have one in the world we live in, because you can put confidence in that man and you believe that whatever needs to be done, that man or that woman, however how you want to put it, that person is going to get the job done. That's why they've become the right-hand man. And they've been given the authority to carry out the job. Now I saw in the right hand. Brother Bram says, God don't have a right hand like you're thinking. Of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who's worthy to open the book, loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth." So I'm going to stop right there. Location. Because there is a man worthy. He's just not located in these three places. Okay? Because you see, John, without the revelation that you and I have, heard the same thing that we just read, and he said, "Oh no. No man's worthy." But John didn't have the revelation delivered to him that you and I have to pay attention to the location. Because we found out there was, and there is, and there always will be a man that's worthy. But that man that's worthy came in the form of a lamb. Unassuming, gentle, meek, nearly powerless to the natural eye. But nobody can stop a lamb from producing wool. Oh, they might shave it off every time it gets a half inch long, but they can't stop that lamb, you see. So we look at this meek and this gentle and this awkward and this unassuming and vulnerable creature. That's not a man. See? See how we define things? But this was the man. Behold, the man. But he came in such a way where people stumbled over him. They missed the whole point of him being here and what he was doing. Oh, when he was breaking the fishes and the loaves, buddy, they were lining up at the buffet table, coming back for more, and there was plenty left over. So everybody was contently fed physically. Then he began to be used by God who was in him to heal the sick. Now he spoke to the people all along the way. They didn't realize that his words were the words that brought everything into existence. They had creative power. They were only bound by the ears of the hearer. So here Paul talking about a body. Don't worry, I'm going to launch into the message. I'm just warming up. Amen. I'm asking the Lord to help move me around. Now I'm going to do something that I've done here before, and I do it all the time at home. I feel comfortable. I feel like I'm at home. So I feel like I can do it here. Are you okay with that? I don't need to read the whole thing, even though I love to read it because it makes perfect sense to me. But there is a portion, I already had it ready. of a statement that Brother Branham makes, and I know I've read it to you. I'm going to emphasize it. I want you to get it. I think I heard Brother Black speak about book and names and so forth. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, 12:4-60. And the book of Revelation has more symbols in it. And you know why I read this over and over? Because of the age we live in. This paragraph here wouldn't make hardly any sense to anybody else. But it's the day we live in. It's the age we live in. It's the time we live in. So we're being given something. Now, this statement that I'm going to read to you could have been in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, but until God deemed this statement that was in his mind to be purposeful, it wouldn't have made that much difference. But the release of the thoughts of God in their due time is the difference maker. And then those who were put there by God to receive those statements makes all the difference in the world. Brothers and sisters. The book of Revelation has more symbols in it. What's a symbol? A symbol is a token of identity verified by comparing its other half. So the word symbol requires two parts. An A team and a B team. I don't mind being second string. I really don't mind at all. To the Sadducees and Pharisees and the religious figures and the political leaders of the day, Jesus was down at the end of the bench. And he was God. The book of Revelation has more symbols in it than all the rest of the books in the Bible. It has more symbols because it is a book of prophecy. That means it's a book that was written for the future.
Right.
Now God delivered this information to John the Revelator, to St. John on the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Or so. But at some point, brothers and sisters, prophecy has to come to pass.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was meant for the future.
Yeah,
I know this sounds crazy, but Hollywood gets its inspiration from the Creator. So we're going back to the future. That's reality.
Yep.
It's not a movie with a crazy doctor and a car that never worked good.
Yeah.
It's not. They grab that inspiration and all that Hollywood displays, all that the film industry displays, they got that inspiration. You say, well, they got it from the devil. Where'd he get it from? He's not a creator. He had to fetch it from somewhere. Now I'm going to ask you a personal question, which I ask myself all the time. Where do you get your inspiration from, fella? Many times we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to think that. That's not me. After a while, you begin to understand that the thoughts that come to you that start to attack you wherever you're weak or your weaknesses are, it's not you. And you keep telling them thoughts, that's not me. That's not me. But you've got to mean it. And then at some point, the overcoming of those thoughts requires not just a statement, that's not me. Requires boldness. It requires you, the inside man or woman, to stand up and say, okay, I'm ready to fight now because that's not me. Come on, devil, I'll take you on. What do you mean, come on, devil? You're your own worst enemy. I'm my own worst. You're not my enemy. I'm my own worst enemy. I see the conflict between God and Satan. But God has made a way. God has His own pharmacy. My wife uses the term big pharma because it's on the... But you understand that's part of the control. And you say, well, wait a minute, God's controlling, but the way He goes about it is not forced. God has afforded you and I the opportunity to be able to look into Him. Into Him! Because He and His Word are one. In the beginning was the Word. See how now it begins, should begin to make sense. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then, here's the key. This is the part that the devil don't want to happen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But once it's made flesh, now He has an object, an entity, a tangible thing that He can try to manipulate. That's where you and I come in. To Him that overcometh. You're looking at an overcomer. And I'm looking at overcomers. But guess what? We're one body. That's why we're not overcoming each other. But God knows what He's doing. He's put all kinds of people in your way. No, not so you can overcome them. So you can overcome yourself. They have their own overcoming to do. The Bible says they have to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Study thine own self to be approved. That doesn't mean you become a theologian necessarily. God has to place a person. You say, well, I'm insignificant. The janitor is, especially in the day we live in, is not insignificant. They're busy wiping everything down and, you know, disinfecting everything. They seemed insignificant a few years ago, but they're not now. King David said, I'd rather be the gatekeeper than to sit in the seats of the ungodly. God's prophet to us even revealed it better. I'd like to be the doormat. You say, ain't no way. You're there. If you're the doormat, you're there. And guess what? He's no respecter of persons. Remember when Jesus went? And Brother Branham preached about Simon and how they didn't wash his feet, and then the woman showed up and washed his feet with their alabaster box and her tears and dried it with her hair. And Brother Branham preached a message, foot wash flunky. Who was the foot wash flunky? Jesus. He was the one who inspired her to do what she did. So brothers and sisters, don't look down upon somebody who doesn't have the stature or the importance or the finance, you understand, or the position in this material world. It's harder for a rich man to go to heaven. Oh, then nobody's going to be saved. I didn't say that. All things are possible with God, he'd say. All right? But don't make it too hard on yourself. Let me continue to read. It's a prophetic book, therefore it has to be understood. Did you realize it's going to be understood? Now, I think I heard the brother reading out of Proverbs. And just this last week, I saw a little plaque that said, understanding is better than knowledge. It said, you may know me, but do you understand me? So in that case, that's why I repeated to you what Brother Branham said about a man putting upon him, you don't know your Bible. What that man was saying is you don't have no knowledge. And when Brother Branham answered him back, I may not, but I know the author real well. Brother Branham was stating, but I've got understanding.
Yeah, amen.
See, I know the person who wrote the book. And that's the most important person to know. It's the only reason you and I, brothers and sisters, can come to any understanding of the book of Revelation, which is a book of prophecy, which is for the future. Because it's a prophetic book, and it has to be understood by a prophetic class. So don't fret. Well, I don't understand it. I'm gonna be blunt. You mean you don't believe it? Because once you begin to really believe in something for which there is no proof, I want you to think about the greatest inventions of all time. The inventors of the things that you and I take for granted so casually. Most of them had a vision. It wasn't a vision like God showing them a vision like they were prophets. But they saw something that could be done. That could work better. That could propel. Could help. Or could save. And they began to work on that vision. To them, it was prophetic. To them, it wasn't, listen careful, the future. It was the present. But they hadn't attained yet that which they were trying to perform. Paul even mentions it. What I would do good. The evil's always, when I would that I could not and I wouldn't. You understand? Paul knew. Paul knew that there was a future. But there's not a thing you can do about it. You must live in the present. But brothers and sisters, you and I have come to a point in time where the present is that future. You say you mean the future of humanity, the future of the world, the future of freedom, the future? No. The future of the body of Christ. That's how important you are. You may feel insignificant and you may think you're not getting it, but God has placed you in the age where you are of the utmost importance. It just hasn't been revealed to you yet what your job is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's to be a prophetic class. It's not a job like a title and a name tag and a position that pays a salary. This is without money and without price. Here's what you get out of this deal. Eternal life. No pain, no suffering. You don't have to worry about your subconscious battling with your conscience. You don't have to worry about your mind warring with itself or with me. It's a prophetic book, therefore it has to be understood by a prophetic class. The book is not meant for everybody. Oh, that's not politically correct. But I'm going to tell you that it's been offered to everybody. The opportunity has been offered to every man, woman, and child. There's nobody can understand it hardly. This book is made for a certain class of people. The carnal mind cannot understand them. Great things of the scripture because it's foolish to them. But the ones who are lovers of the word of God, that's who the book was written to the church. Right? Okay, now I'm going to start moving. Are you still with me?
Amen.
I didn't get up here to bore you to death, that's for sure. Now I'm going to read to you out of the first seal. Page 110. I know the brother might be able to get that up there. Now I'm going to start with, on 110, brother, paragraph 43. Now the seven seal rolled book is now being released by the Lamb. Is now being released by the Lamb. Remember, this book was kept sealed. And a seal is to protect. A seal is to keep something bound under lock and key so that unauthorized hands and eyes and ears cannot manipulate it. He says, now we believe that, or let me, being released by the Lamb, we approach that place tonight. God help us as the seals are broken and released. The mysteries of the book are revealed. We're going to find out what this book is here in a minute. This prophetic book, this book of symbols. He says, now you see, this is a sealed book. Now we believe that, do we not? Congregation says amen. We believe that it is a sealed book. Now we never know this before, but it's sealed with seven seals. That is on the back of the book. The book is sealed with seven seals. If he was talking, watch, I'm going to hold this up, about this kind of book, it would be like putting strap across it. Seven straps. But it isn't this kind of book. Why? Says it is. We read in Revelations that it uses the word B-double-O-K, but it's symbols. This object that I have in my hand stands for or represents something other than itself. That's the definition. And in order to be able to come to an understanding of the true meaning of the symbol, another half is required. Oh, not another half of the book, but the reality of the definition. This is a symbol. It says book. Where did they get the idea for that? Well, of course me, I just go to the dictionary. Now, this is what we think when we hear the word book. A set of written sheets or paper. A set of written, printed, or blank sheets bound together in a volume. Watch now. Watch as we move into the definition of the word book and where this symbol, this object that you and I call a book found its roots. Because if we can find the root of what this symbol is, we will have the other half. Right, right. And then it will be fully defined. Amen. It won't be just a symbol anymore. It'll still be called a book. And it may still look like one. But we'll know its intent.
Right.
We'll know why it's called a book. Amen. And you may not think it's important. But it will be.
Amen.
Because it's a book of prophecy. Prophecy is the future. But what happens to us creatures of time is you and I can't see the future. We don't really know what tomorrow holds, but we should have confidence in who holds tomorrow. And it ain't the governments. And it ain't the churches. And it ain't science. They change their mind every 5 minutes. That's their business.
Amen.
We need to put our confidence in an unmoving, unchangeable, unalterable object of worship. God Himself. So we find as we begin to look into the meaning of the symbol. and we get a little deeper into the definition, it says something that yields knowledge or understanding. That's what books were written for. Now, some of them could be fairy tales. Some of them could be just figments of the imagination of the writer. Some of them could be science fiction, as we call it. But even in that, the writer's intent, the author of that work, put down in this form what they wanted to convey from themselves. Is that right? In other words, let me give you a better definition for it. It becomes an attribute. It becomes, listen now, a child of theirs. And a good author has lots of children. The best author has lots of children. But only one body. Only one source. Just like the author of a series of books that they turn into theatrical. And everybody spends all kinds of money. And then they allow, because your eyes are the gate to your soul, they allow that information to be disseminated into themselves through their eyes. And look at the world we live in. It's mad. It's crazy. It's falling apart. Brothers and sisters, there's only one hope for this world. Amen. Only one. Amen. It's got to be cleaned off. Amen. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to fulfill God's word. And by fulfilling God's word, He's made a way of escape. Now, if you're trying to escape the destruction of the earth, you may have the wrong motive and objective. You might find yourself in the room and the Bible says, how'd you get in here? You don't have the appropriate garment on. You're not wearing that portion of covering that I ordained for those who find safety in this place. Take him, bind him, cast him into outer darkness, and there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because that person thought they were in. And do you know what the mistake was that they made? They thought. Because his understanding is not ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are not. So we have to come clean. We have to empty out. We have to find ourselves to a place where we realize that we're a wretched, sinful character. Now, sin is unbelief. It doesn't mean you have to be an alcoholic or a drug addict or a... Most of the time, as I was before I got saved, you get to a very low point. You've tried all of the things that the world has to offer in the form of drugs and so forth and music and whatever. And you find yourself slipping into a darker and darker and darker, less light and less light and less light, but you think you're happy. You're not happy. I can tell by the look on your face. And you won't let me look into your eyes. I've been there. I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming into the world speaking lies, full of trouble and short of age, just like everybody else. But let me keep going. We'll be here all day. Because God's word is wonderful. And like I said, you all have known me in the beginning. I'm a pretty short-winded fella. But God's word has made a change in my life so in such a dramatic way that I can't stop loving His word. But I... Thank you. Listen now, as we get closer to the other half of what this symbol is. And I just got this out of the dictionary. You can go buy the dictionary that I'm using. It's not special. Let's go a little further. Inside information or analysis. Ooh, now we're getting a little intellectual and a little scientific. Also, dictionary, not me, but I can see now why God allowed the terminology that is in this Bible to be put in there in the form of words. Not by mistake. Not happenstance. Not carelessly. But he put them in there so that at some point in time, there would be a group of people, which I believe we constitute a portion of that body, who would be interested enough in going, well, gee, all the denominations use the same book. All Christianity uses the same book. What makes us different? I'll tell you what makes us different is because God has put something in you that transcends the symbol.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I see it's a book. I can read it's a book. But we found out that the right hand isn't a hand. It's an exact and specific position of authority and confidence. Wouldn't you love? Wouldn't you love to have God's book in your right hand?
Amen.
That means he puts confidence in you, brother. That means he's given you all recognition of authority to know what to do with it. How to handle it. And notice, as long as it's located in his right hand, it's sealed. Because I can't give you this. I can preach until the cows come home. And I can't give you revelation. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. And on that rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will come against it, but they will not. They cannot prevail. And they've come against. They're coming against. Some of us are standing with them wide open going, which way should I go? Well, we read about Lot. You choose. You choose which direction you'll go in. You do not have to go through those gates. Because you'll have to fight your way out. Brother Branham says we fight our way to hell. It's a free gift. The message of the hour. You want to talk about, brothers and sisters, are you hearing me? This is the most intricate. The most interesting. The most hidden. Work of literature there is. Nah, bro, that's just the Bible. My mom and dad have had that laying in the house since I was born. But now, we've come to the point in time where God has decided to open up that Bible.
Amen.
You know that one that's been laying around there for decades and for eons and for centuries. That's why God sent a prophet.
Amen.
Not so we could worship him.
Amen.
Not so we could quote his name. Not when you hear me reading out of these messages, I believe this is God's word.
Amen.
Given to a man. And if we don't believe that, we're all sorry creatures.
Yep.
If you don't believe the man behind the pulpit is an instrument that God is using to take what he's revealed and then put it together and make bread. Squeeze it as the fruit of the vine. You're wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. We're no better than the prophet called us a lodge. A group of people that gather together under an inspiration for similar ideas. This better not be a lodge. Because I'm no lodge member. We want to be members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
That's the only thing that will matter. It's the only thing that will save us. It's God's way of escape. But he's been holding it back until a point in time where there's a group of people that are prepared to receive it. You have to be ready. You have to be willing. You have to be able, or it's just going to be a few hours of boring time, and it's too hot in here, and I'm sleepy, and I'm hungry. And... But according to the prophet's words, when the revelation of Jesus Christ really takes a hold of you and you surrender yourself to it, he said, you can't wait till those doors are open. Because you're not coming here to hear the man and see the woman. You're coming here because you're being fed from the soul. Something in you is crying out and craving. Now you don't know exactly what it is, but he does, so he's prepared.
Yep. That's right.
Amen.
The right inoculation.
Amen.
For that problem.
Amen.
Listen now. The word book. Oh, I'm just getting started. The word book. Now remember, this is in the hands of the Creator. I could read it to you, but I'll paraphrase it. When Adam forfeited his rights to this book, it could not fall into the hands of the devil, Satan himself, Lucifer. Why? Because it wasn't his. I'm going to tell you right now that the book that I'm speaking to you about, Lucifer's name's not in it. Oh, his name's in this book. But this is a symbol. This is something that stands for or represents something else. See, you even have to have a revelation of who the devil is. And he's obvious. But some people, oh, I'd rather worship Satan, they say. Go for it. It's in the book. It says there will be people that will do that. He was such a good preacher. That he deceived angels.
Yep.
That's right.
And he deceived those angels in such a way where the book of Jude tells us they left their first estate. God had given them property.
Right.
God had given them rights.
Yep.
God had given them the opportunity to, which is presented to you this morning, to have a place in his kingdom.
Yep. Right.
And they rejected it.
Yep.
Because of some fancy pants preacher. Remember, this is a book of prophecy. Forget your past. I don't care how you've been put upon. I don't care who's marred your life. It's a book of prophecy.
Amen.
It's for the future.
Yes, right.
And it's for your future.
Amen.
And your future could be today.
Right.
You don't know that you're not going to be here tomorrow.
Right.
So today is the day of salvation. Listen to this. But when we get down, when we start boiling down the meaning of the symbol, it gets down to something very simple. It was God, its root of the meanings that I read to you out of one word. Manifest. I didn't make it up, I just got out of the dictionary. What is the whole world groaning and waiting for? Paul says in Romans, it's the manifestation. So what manifestation is it's the life of the manifest. And the word manifest finds its roots. Where's the book at? Mano. Hand. Do you see the connection?
Amen.
Do you see the symbol?
Amen.
The hand has put names. In something that it's willing to protect.
Right. Amen.
sealed it up. The devil can't get to it. Well, neither can you and I. As long as it's sealed, no man, on, in, under. But God has made a way. It's a secret. It's a secret. And a secret becomes a mystery. What's that mean? Can't tell you. What do you mean you can't tell me? You mean you ain't got Facebook? Can't tell you. Have to keep it to myself. It's the very reason why when Jesus would do a work that seemed like a mighty work. Let's take the woman at the well. Forgive me for taking so much time. I'm just... I want this to get to you. Even if I only get a sentence. The woman at the well, think of her life. She had five husbands. I know churches wouldn't let her in the door. Her skirt's not long enough. Her hair's chopped. She got makeup on. She'd been married five times. Oh, that's just the one he came for. He didn't come to save the righteous. Excuse me. He come for the likes of you and me. And if you think you're righteous, you got self-righteousness. And there's only one thing worse than self-righteousness. It's self-humility. Oh, I'm humble. Yeah, I've seen you humble. You know what I mean? And humble doesn't mean you're just a something that the devil can kick around. But when humanity wants to kick you around, what do you do? Here, go ahead. Here, go ahead. I'm not talking about defending your family. If somebody's coming after your family, you're going to give your life for them. Just like Jesus. The devil was coming after his family. He said, I got this. I know exactly how to fix this problem. I'll stand in the line of fire of sin. I'll hang on the cross and I'll reverse the effects of unbelief. But somebody has to accept it. He paid the price, Brother Branham told us in the seals, but he never claimed the possession. I'll save that for this afternoon. But you see where we're at? Brothers and sisters, this is all about location. Where were you, Job? Who's not going to be deceived? Come on. Those whose names are written in a book. Oh, man. I'll take a little bit more time to break down a few more things. Because brothers and sisters, this is not a science class. This is not a literature class. I'm no Sunday school teacher. But God has revealed through the message of the age what the other half of this is. It's location. Where were you? How about your names? They had to have been located in the Lamb's Book of Life since before the foundation of the world. And where is that book? It's not a book. It's a manifest. I want you to get that. This is a symbol. You know, this is a symbol in so much. I think you'll get this. This is a symbol in so much that this is only a living word if it's in you. You understand? So once this is in you, you no longer need the object. You no longer need the symbol. You are it. You become it. That's why they crucified the Lord. Come on. You being a man, we don't crucify you for your good works. We're crucifying you because you being a man are trying to imitate our book. Oh, I am the book. I am the bread. He said, I am the wine. I'm the manna. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. And they go, no, we read it in the book. That's not the book we're talking about. If you'll notice, this book in Revelation 5 is in the hand of the original owner in his right hand. But when we get to Revelation 10 and this book is open, it shrinks. It says, and a little book was open. What happened? All the other stuff. Lucifer's name's not in it. So that's out. This is not in it. That's out. This is like Brother Branham said, a man came to him one day and said, we speak where the Bible speaks. We're silent where the Bible speaks. Silent. Brother Branham said, really? Judas hung himself. Will you do the same? Oh, what a simple but sublime statement. You going to do everything the Bible says? Throw yourself off that cliff. But it's also written. The only way you'd know that is if the book was in you.
Amen.
And you knew the author.
Yes.
And how to apply what's in it. That's what's happening. We don't realize it, but we're getting the full application.
Amen.
Of the thoughts, Hebrews 4:12, and intents.
Amen.
You say, yeah, brother, but it hurts. Of course it hurts. It's a two-edged sword. But God's two-edged sword cuts while it's going in and heals while it's coming out. And you say, well, I got a scar. Praise the Lord. You know what that scar's for? That's for your memory. While you're here and you have a memory that fights you and a conscience and affection and those five gates, you've got to have something that you can look to and go, I once was lost. But now I'm found. I got a grandson. I probably told you this. It was a little boy and there was going to be a full eclipse. And he wanted to go outside and look. I had a welder's mask. So I went out there and I looked up and I said, wow, that's really cool. He comes outside and he looks up and he says, man. I said, boy, don't you be looking at this. It was somebody else. But he said, don't you be looking at that sun. That'll blind you. Watch a 3-year-old. You think he'd known the author. He said, that's all right, Daddy. He said, we sing it all the time in church. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's what this 3-year-old kid said. He didn't understand he was going to be blind. But he wasn't sweating it. Because, you know, kids, you said, well, he's just a little kid. Oh, be his little children. You see, we're not supposed to be immature. We're supposed to allow our faith to be so simple and unobstructed that whatever God says is truth, is fact, will come to pass. And all I'm doing, brothers and sisters, you may not realize it yet, but I'm preaching to you so that you can come to a conclusion of where you're at in Him. Because it's not just a book. You see, that's why they're stumbling. It's not just a recording.
No. Right. Amen.
Right. Come on.
There's an intent in there.
Amen.
That's exactly right, brother. And you're hearing it right now. Why? Because every man's voice is his word, Brother Branham said. And if a man is espousing God's word and God hath placed him, he's the voice of God. But not the way you think. Oh, guy thinks he's... No, that's the whole point. If he's a real man of God, he won't think anything of himself. He'll think he's chiefest of sinners. And Paul already took that spot, so I'm in the tribe. Can't be the chief, because Paul took it. And Paul said, if you preach any other gospel than what I preach. And I said, okay, Paul. You understand? There's nothing wrong with second string. I kind of like the BT. Should I keep going? I've been here a long time, I think, haven't I, Brother Wade? Come on. Oh, you give me 5, 10? Is that 10? Okay. I know you're not. Yeah. I'm not here to bore you.
No, you're not boring.
I felt led to come here to enlighten you. We need enlightening. And I'm only preaching to you those things which God has revealed to me in simplicity. This is not difficult. Because if it was, we'd be in trouble. Now, some of us are pretty sharp, so we probably could. But see, your intellectual conceptions will do you no good at the end of the run. Because if somebody can talk you into it, I'm telling you right now, the devil's got somebody to talk you out of it. It's got to become a heartfelt, soul-saving. Okay, I'll go a little further. I've only made it two paragraphs. If he was talking about this kind of book, it would be like putting a strap across its seven straps. But it isn't this kind of a book. It's a scroll. Oh man, you, Brother Chris, you just spent 30 minutes telling us that it wasn't a book. And Brother Brown says it's a scroll. Well, do you know what scroll means? I'll take a little less time because I want to get to something before this afternoon. Oh yeah, I just get the dictionary out. Hang on. Scroll. This is what we see when we hear scroll. That's a symbol. Has a much, much deeper, greater meaning than this rolled up piece of paper. But because it appeared in the form of symbols envisioned to John, John could only express the words that he understood. It looks like a scroll to me. That's because God wanted him to see a scroll. But God doesn't want you and I to see a scroll because he's given us something that goes beyond this recognition. A scroll. From the word roll, R-O-L-L, and then the dictionary says, see the word escrow. I'll save that for this afternoon. So then it begins to give us a definition of what John saw in symbol form. A roll of parchment, paper, etc., usually with writing or pictures on it. The second definition says an ancient book in the form of a rolled, listen to the word that's used in the dictionary, manuscript. It comes from the word hand. Location, location, location. You know, I remember when I was a young man, Ray Kroc, the guy who started the McDonald's restaurant chain, said he doesn't open up hamburger joints. This is in his book. He says, I buy real estate. Wait a minute. This is the guy that owns the McDonald's restaurant chain. I don't open up hamburger stands, he says. I buy real estate. What did he mean? I'm going to tell you what he meant. Because you can read it in his biography. Or his autobiography. He said, I pick out the very best location in any town I go to. I don't care how much that piece of property costs. I've got a team of guys that will go in there and buy that piece of property for what its value is. Over or under inflated. When Walt Disney was going to open up Disney World in Florida, he had a third party agent who didn't know who he was, hired through a middle agent to go look for the land. Because as soon as somebody said, Walt Disney's looking for land, the price just tripled, brother. And then everybody around that area would triple the price of their land. It makes sense. Location. This is where the term came from for the real estate industry. It came from Ray Kroc. So well, how do you figure it out? How do you figure out which piece of property to put your McDonald's on? He said, location, location, location. I want the best location. I want the one that's easiest to get in and out of. Now, that's changed. Even the location mentality changed. Why? Because he's passed away. Disney World has changed. Disneyland has changed. You want to talk about a diabolical, corrupt institution? Because it's not owned by Walt Disney. I think it's owned by ABC and ESPN and all them other outfits. Sony. Yeah. I'm not telling you not to go to Disneyland. But I'll tell you, when the founder of something that he thinks is good for the people, makes a decision, it usually starts out right. Maybe you don't know this, and I'm not promoting this. I just want you to understand the nuances of God's Word. But did you know that William Branham, the prophet of the age, mentions Walt Disney? Did you know there's a place where he says he's one of us? You look it up. You find it. You read it. It's in there. But he calls it Walt's place. See, brothers and sisters, we get so uptight. We get so legalistical and fundamentalist about things that we can't see the forest for the trees. But it's all laid out right here. The word scroll at the end of the day looks like a rolled manuscript. And watch where they got the definition from. Listen now, careful, a list of names. I didn't make this up. It's in the dictionary. It came from a root word. Why? So if you think about it, if you think about the word scroll came from an action that required a list of names. Oh, what John saw was deadly accurate. What he explained he saw was a scroll. But anybody who understood what the scroll represented knew that it wasn't a scroll. Literally, it was a symbol. What did it stand for? What's the other half of the meaning? A list of names. Makes perfect sense. It's a book. It's the Lamb's book. It's got names in it. Wait until you hear what the word name means. You think, well, my name's Bill, and my name's Bob, and my name's Chris, and my name's Wade, and my name's... That's right, but that was given to you by your earthly parents. Now, names have a meaning. Because if the name is meant to define the character of the person, don't change your name. Unless it's Ricky or Elvis. That's what the prophet said. Because he understood something. Ricky Nelson and Elvis Presley were not being put down by God through his prophet. Brother Branham was trying to express something about names. And then it was revealed that those individuals became defined, or watch now, their name defined them. Saul to Paul. See what I'm saying? Started changing names in the Bible. Why? Because God wanted, there was something hidden in that. In the Old Testament and in the Bible it's written and it looks obvious. Well, that's because this name meant this and this name means this. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Don't worry so much about your natural name. It's the one that God put in that book. What is my name then, brother? Well, you'll have to look into the book to see, and you'll have to reference where you're at in the book, and then you'll have to come to an understanding of where you are in that book. Well, that's the reason why I feel like a big shot. That's not what your name defines. Let's take Jesus. It was specific. Listen, Mary, that which is born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. And I've given the Holy Ghost a name. Jesus. You'll call him Jesus. Better go see what that name means. Now the angel had his own little dictionary. Savior. So that's why Jesus could Luke 4 go into the temple. Priest handed him the book. He opened the book. It didn't look like his name, but he gave the definition of it in Isaiah. But then he only read, watch now, half of verse 2 and stopped. Wait a minute. How come he only read half of verse 2? He's all the Word. But he knew there was a prophetic class that was coming. He knew John was going to be on the Isle of Patmos and John was going to be seeing symbols in the form of a vision because John didn't really know what was going on. And he knew the definition of symbol requires another half. I remember when the Lord first showed this to me. You mean the Word of God and we are always informed to quote all the Word and to finish every sentence and here is the Word Himself stopping. In the middle of a sentence. What did He do that for? Well, He did it because of the definition symbol. A token of identity verified by comparing its other half. Well, that makes perfect sense to me now. Did you know what the other half of the sentence in the scripture that Jesus did not read? It's the bride. But it was the day of judgment. And He wasn't here that day. You understand, 2,000 years ago was not the day of judgment. It was a day of salvation. But when John turned and the elder said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah," that elder knew judgment was fixing to take place. You and me. Everybody else. But something happened. And in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts stood a lamb. He'd been sitting. You know, John couldn't see him. The prophet said he'd been sitting. Where was he? The prophet said, back in the eternities. And then he rose from the dead and stood up and said, "I've paid the price. I've conquered it." Listen now. And only those whose names are in that book. Now, remember me telling you about collateral benefactors. You may not realize this, brothers and sisters, but did you know that you were put here for one reason? Because if you were in Him before the foundation of the world, He can't lose you the way you and I think of lost. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Do you think really God didn't know where you were at? But those words are put in there in the form of a symbol so you and I could come to an understanding of the plan of God, and we were, and some of us still are, lost. But not lost like, where's my pocket knife? Where's my car keys? Where's my cell phone? Lost as in separated. Put off to a distance. But God knew exactly where you were going to come up in history, in time. He knew when you were going to be born. He knows when we're going to die. If we die, He knows everything about what's going to happen. And brothers and sisters, if you want more time on your deathbed, be careful. Because there's an instance in the Bible where the prophet said, "You're going to die tonight." Yeah. Oh, God, I can't. I'm not ready. My family's not ready. God heard it. Prophet, turn around. A prophet just does what he's told. He didn't argue with God. Wait a minute, I just told him that he was going to be condemned and now you want me to turn around and go back? Turn around. Go back and tell him. I'm going to give him 15 more years. But God knew. That's why Brother Branham uses that example. And does God ever change His mind about His Word? No, but you keep antagonizing Him and you keep badgering Him and He'll say, "Go ahead and play in the street. I know you're going to get killed, but go ahead and play in the street." You say, "Well, that's not a very..." This is the God of life. He's not worried about you dying. He's worried about you living. I think I better stop. I'll finish.
Amen.
Oh, well, I'll get a little further. You love him?
Amen.
Please stand. I got two paragraphs in. But brothers and sisters, it's God's word, see? There's no end to this. There's no end to it. God is good all the time. I think I like to sing that. Not sure what key you play it in, sis, but go ahead. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time.
In the darkest
night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, He's so good. Thank you.
I didn't need that.
Okay. Yes, He is.
Give our brother a hand. The word of God was spoke to us today.
Amen.
By a servant.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to come.
Amen.
Not going to get it any other way. But you're going to go home and chew on it for a while. And then let God talk to you a little bit more and a little bit more. That's what we were talking about this morning. You know, there's only 66 books in the Bible. But I thought it was the eternal word of God. There's only 66 books. It's not library volumes of books. 66 books. But inside that 66, it's off. I forgot to turn it on. Inside that, they can hear me. Inside that book is living people.
That's right.
And that's what makes it eternal.
Amen.
That's what makes it eternal. Like Brother Chris said, you take the ands and the buts and the these and the Lucifers and Cain, and you take all these people and you start pulling them out of the book. What you got left? You got the bride.
That's right.
That's all you got left is us. You've got the bride. Amen. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. If you have a need, we're just going to raise our hands. If you need prayer, and we'll just pray today as we dismiss and be back at 2:00 this afternoon, and he can just preach all night if he wants to. That's fine with me. But we need to go get a little bite to eat and come back together. Be praying for him.
Amen.
For this second service.
Yes.
That'll be better than the first.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for your servant, Lord, that's come, Lord, and poured his heart out to us.
Yes.
Lord, we know one thing's for sure. We are creatures of time here, but Lord, when we get into eternity, Lord, we're not ever going to have to say goodbye. Never going to have to say, I'm hungry, I need to go get something to eat. We're going to sit and feast around the Word of God for an eternity. 66 books of a Bible. But the Bible is not going to be in heaven. People are going to be in heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us, be with the ones that raised their hands, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones we called out this morning, the ones that are on the prayer list, Lord. We pray that you'd be with each one, Father. As we go eat a meal, Lord, that we'll continue, Lord, to put you first in everything we do. Father, just give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This light will shine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time.